Slaves in the Desert by Captain James Riley. Retold by Julie Hart. Copyright Burlington Books, 2016. Chapter 1. The Shipwreck. My name is James Riley, and this story is based on true events. They happened to me, and I will never forget them. In 1815, I was captain of the ship Commerce. I was sailing from my hometown of Connecticut in the USA to Gibraltar to transport a cargo of tobacco and flour. I had 10 men with me, including my chief officer, Aaron Savage, a young sailor called James Clark, and the cook, Richard Delisle. Our youngest sailor was 15-year-old Horace, the son of good friends of mine. Before we left, I promised his mother, "Don't worry, I'll take care of Horace like my own son." On the 9th of August, we arrived in Gibraltar. We unloaded our merchandise and received a new cargo of wine and about $2,000. We also took a passenger called Antonio Michel. He planned to travel with us for part of our route. We left Gibraltar on the 23rd of August, intending to stop at the Cape Verde Islands, off the coast of West Africa, to collect a cargo of salt. By the 29th of August, we were near the coast of Africa, but it was very foggy and difficult to see. In the middle of the thick fog, we suddenly hit rocks. Disaster! I knew it was impossible to save the ship. It was filling with water fast. "We must try to reach land in the boat," I said. "Come, men, let's get food, drink, and clothes into the boat. We can't save the cargo. Take only what we need to survive." Together, we filled the boat with our provisions. We took tools, barrels of water and wine, bread, some salty meat, and some boxes of clothes. And then we abandoned the ship and the cargo. The fog was disappearing, and we could now see land about 200 meters away. We started to row towards it. High waves carried us quickly, but the sea was violent. The rocks damaged the boat, and some barrels fell in the sea. Luckily, we reached dry land with most of our provisions. Thank goodness. We lay on the dry sand and rested our tired bodies. Then I noticed a half-naked old man was approaching us. His hair was long and untidy, and he was carrying a knife. Behind him were two women and some children. They also carried knives and used them to open our boxes of clothes. The women and children pulled our scarves from the boxes and tied them around their heads. Then they took our blankets and clothes from the boxes and ran away with them across the sand. I spoke to the man in a calm, friendly voice. But he shouted furiously and pointed his knife at me before joining the others. My men wanted to fight these thieves, but I stopped them. "We haven't got any weapons," I said. "If we try to fight them, they can kill us." "Maybe they'll return with men and take the rest of our provisions," Aaron Savage said. "It's almost dark. Let's repair the boat quickly and leave at sunrise." We drank some wine, then took our tools and worked on the boat together until it was dark. Exhausted, we lay on the sand to get a few hours' sleep. However, the old man returned very early in the morning. He held a long spear above his head and pointed it at us. Other young men approached us with knives and spears, and there were women with camels. The old man pointed at our boat, ordering the women and boys to take our food and water and put them onto their camels. We couldn't stop them without weapons. Then the old man suddenly attacked our passenger, Antonio Michel, with his spear and killed him. We were shocked and terrified. Less than 12 hours ago, we were sailing happily on a tranquil sea. Now an innocent man was dead. We had little food and water, and our survival depended on a broken boat. We jumped into our boat and carefully rowed it between the rocks to the open sea. The boat was slowly filling with water, and we emptied it continually with our hands. We were shocked by the death of our passenger and were all thinking the same thing. How long can we survive in this broken boat? What's going to happen to us?